Do you have one?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, well, then I don't.
It is all good.
Beep, beep. Okay. Just making sure of something here. Making sure I'm not on the air, actually, because this studio also, we just started doing this a couple weeks ago, where I can actually interview someone while we're still broadcasting from here.
So
this is broadcasting right
too.
Now.
Oh, wow.
So it's crazy. But if I don't push the right buttons, then I'm like talking over something else. It's horrible. Only happened kind of 1.5 times. All right. So
1.5 times.
Cynthia, tell me what you had for breakfast.
This morning I had Faye Greek yogurt, and I had some gluten-free granola on top of it and some sliced bananas and French press coffee that my amazing husband made for me.
So that's good. That sounds delicious.
It was good.
You need to get a little closer to your mic, or perhaps lift it just a tad. Yeah, and you're a little low. So tell me what you would like to have for dinner.
Let's see. Tonight I would like a big spinach salad with cranberries, and if you will make balsamic vinaigrette, and let's grill some chicken. That would be just perfect for me.
Okay, that sounds really good.
Okay.
So keep your mouth right around there.
All right.
And you can go at an angle to the an angle. In fact, an angle's kind of good.
No pop filter here.
Yeah. The angle's kind of nice.
Gotcha.
All right, and Nathan.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I can't even hear you.
Okay.
I mean, I could hear you barely. I was being a little dramatic. Nathan, tell me about. Do you have any pets?
We do have.
Tell me about your pets.
We have one dog named Brody. He's a Labby.
Speak up a little bit.
Mix, mm-hmm. And he's 18 months old and loves to be right under our feet. Mm-hmm. So. If we have to walk through a doorway, he's going to be in the doorway first.
Right. Speak up just a little bit.
Okay.
Do you have any cats?
No cats.
He's
allergic.
Mm-hmm. So, oh.
Yeah. Kind of sucks, but
that's
I'm
okay.
I like cats.
I do too.
No,
I'm a little bit more of a dog person anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, dogs are much saner than cats, but I love cats. I always had cats.
Well, cats have you, right?
They do.
Cats have you.
The thing I like about cats is that they're okay with being solitary.
Yeah, they're totally independent.
The thing that I like about Brody, though, is he wants and demands my time and attention,
right.
Which is good because sometimes I can get wrapped around the axle. And
yeah.
It's good to...
Oh, yeah. I have a chihuahua that was my mom's chihuahua.
Oh.
I would never get a chihuahua. I would never choose a chihuahua. But
so you just asked me for a small dog, and I said no.
I want a Yorkie real bad.
Oh, like, I have a friend who gets Yorkies.
So cute.
They are so cute.
Put it in your purse.
I love this chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean, I think of course it was because it was my mom's, but slept with my mom. Now it sleeps with me. Really nice, nice little thread there. But, I love this dog and I love how the dog takes my mind off of things.
Yeah.
You know,
dogs are therapy. No question.
Yeah.
No question.
All right. So, Cynthia DeVita Cochran, we're talking about, tell me the name of your place again.
Coastal Designer Glass.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right.
Coastal Designer Glass. Tell me, what is this place?
So we're kind of your local artistic glass shop. We unlike a lot of other places that sort of just do glass, heavy glass, we do that. But we also do every other kind of glass, from stained glass to what we call art glass, which is kind of like stained glass, but lighter and more durable. It looks like stained glass and feels like it. But it's one piece of glass, so it's better for like doors and windows. We do fused glass, cast and blown glass. Pretty much if it's glass, we can do it. And we love that because it opens up the possibilities for designers, for artisans who kind of want something new and different, and or homeowners who want something beautiful, but they don't know how to make that happen, or they don't want to obscure something, and so we can do it in glass. It's really... We kind of are able to do it all. You probably have more ideas than I do, too.
Slump glass, which is heavy glass that is actually heated up and then slumped into a cast. That's something that we do quite a bit. Thermoform glass for heavy glass shower enclosures, doors and windows.
So that's like glass with texture.
Yeah.
So if someone doesn't want your average run-of-the-mill glass, we love those interesting projects. Like, we just sourced some frames and glass for someone who wanted a glass shower enclosure, but they wanted it to look like a warehouse windows. And so they actually took a picture out of Architectural Digest and brought it to our shop. And I got in touch with the architect in New York. It was, what's his name's?
Neil Patrick Harris's.
It was his. It was a picture of his shower enclosure in their apartment, he and his partner, in New York. So I got in touch with the architect there. I spoke with the architect. I spoke with the designer. I spoke with the metal fabricator just outside of New York City. We found out how they made it. We found out how they sourced it. And we actually were able to make that happen down here, which there's nobody in town that will take that kind of time, really. But we just find that completely interesting. We love those kind of projects.
This is not just a little glass shop.
Well, it is a little glass shop.
Yeah.
But we're not afraid to do the creative thing that a lot of people don't want to do because it does take time. You know, we say very frequently, regardless of what you bring in, this is going to be a creative process. And so most of our clients, we're realizing, are people who are not afraid of the process and the conversation to go, this is what we want, and then we take a look at the project, what's needed, and go, okay, well, these are our options, these are possibilities. And sometimes we get in and we find that we can't do the original thing that a client wanted, but we can come up with something better frequently. It's not exactly what they came in visualizing, but we come up with something that is creative and beautiful and is ultimately what they want.
And we would sort of be more clearly in the artisan category than the artist category. And I think the differentiation there is important because artists are often, you know, they're self-expressing. They're what they have and what they design and what they come up with is out of their own head or mind or experiences. And we are more interested in asking questions of our clients. What is it that you envision? How do you see this? What is it? What about this piece or this project or what we're trying to come up with is important to you? And that way, we know that when they get it in place, it's important to them. We work with designers frequently, and one of the things we're always asking is, what does your client want here? How is this going to fit into the whole scheme? And because to us, it's not about us. It's not about what we might do if it were our house or if it were our, you know, business or our business is, you know, really facilitating whatever that vision looks like in glass. And so that's, I think, probably why we're more in the artisan category than the strictly artist category, though we do artistic things.
Yeah.
You also help people learn how to work with glass and do their own artistic visions. Tell me about the possibilities at your place that where people can learn. Tell me how people can learn some of the skills that you have.
Okay, so we've recently started offering stained glass classes, so that people can learn and appreciate that particular artistic style. Stained glass is usually either a lead channel or a Tiffany method. Tiffany method is where each of the individual pieces is wrapped with copper foil and then soldered together. And there are pros and cons to both. So we've started teaching stained glass classes. We just completed a first class, and we're going to do another one in the fall. We're also looking at doing a mosaic class. So stained glass sometimes is a little bit frustrating for students because it's not only working with the glass, it's also learning how to work with lead, which some people don't want to work with lead because of its properties. So mosaic is a little bit different. You can cut glass, you might not be great at soldering, and then you go, well, I can fill this in with a grout. And it's a different look, it's a different texture, and I like it. And it's very beachy, so we're going to offer some mosaic classes as well.
And then we're also going to start offering studio time, sort of like a make-it-take-it time where people can come in, buy a framework or a basic piece of glass, and then cut and form glass on top of that, and they will put it in our kilns and fuse it together for them. So it's a great opportunity to learn to handle glass in a that's almost a mistake-proof kind of way. You cut it. If you break it, you just cut it again. You're not having to fit it into a mold. And you even little kids can make glass, beautiful glass things with fusing. Then you can also slump those things into bowl shapes, plates, cups. We have vase molds, so all kinds of ways. Coasters, yeah, really neat ways. So we want to make glass more accessible, and it's so much fun for us to do it, and we think it's really appealing. But there's not really so many opportunities to do it, and we think it's kind of a lost art form. I mean, many of the stained glass. Beautiful stained glass windows that are in Wilmington were made, for instance, in Germany. And there are several other great stained glass artists even in our own town. But we feel like the more people get access to glass, the more they'll love it and appreciate it. And maybe even one of our wonderful artists that works with us, Nikki Hildebrand, who's well-known here in Wilmington, she teaches our stained glass classes. And Nathan also teaches them. And one of the things that's neat is that she and I are going through Wilmington right now, looking at all the different pieces. She just recently came back from Munich, where she was the artist in residence for 3 months for the city of Munich. And so many of our stained glass pieces, historic, beautiful pieces in Wilmington, in sacred places, in churches and synagogues, were actually made in Munich by German artisans. So she was able to do some research there, and now she and I are starting sort of to outline a book that we're writing about the historic stained glass in Wilmington. And one day we hope to offer a tour. So again, we're just trying to kind of make it accessible.
That's really interesting. It reminds me of the places where you can go in and take a piece of pottery that somebody's already made and you paint it and then they'll fire it for you.
Yes.
Where you can make something that is your own without having a super amount of skill,
right,
but still being able to express yourself.
Right.
But this
right.
is with glass,
exactly.
Expressing yourself with glass.
And many of the pieces that come out of the kiln will look like stained glass pieces without the lead channels in between. And you can hang them in your windows, and they'll be beautiful. And your kids can make them. So we're envisioning that we'll have birthday parties there, and we'll have field trips for homeschool groups or, elementary classrooms, because it's such an accessible medium. And, the cutting of glass, if you're, careful and wear gloves, and even little kids can do it. So we're excited about the possibility there.
One of the things that I hear people say so frequently is, I can never work with glass. I would be so afraid to do what you do. And, we're so afraid of breaking things. This is a medium where, yes, glass breaks, and it's okay. And you can make beautiful things even from your broken pieces.
Hmm.
Which is, it's huge.
Yeah,
it's a life lesson.
Are, yeah.
So, you can take those things and you can make something beautiful out of it.
Yeah. That's always fun, and you can break it, which is actually a very satisfying feeling. Use the scorer and you score it, and then you use this thing called a Fletcher and you crack it and it breaks all, and it's like, oh, it's so satisfying. I actually really love to cut glass for that reason.
I think you need to see a psychologist.
If I were not a psychologist, I probably would. Actually, I have had to see a psychologist. It's part of the training to be a psychologist. You have to have that.
Oh God, what you just said was so beautiful.
Yes.
What did you just say? Well, I have it recorded, so I love that. There's this thing about things that are broken.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Japanese thing.
Yeah.
Have you heard this?
No.
About the cracks?
The mandala idea or no?
No, this
okay.
is about something broken has a history.
Yes.
And where the cracks are, instead of trying to hide the cracks when you put something back together,
mm-hmm.
you aggrandize the cracks with gold.
Yes.
To
yeah,
highlight what it's
that.
Been what this piece has been through and the history.
Yeah,
and the it's more valuable.
Scars are beautiful. They can be
yeah.
really beautiful.
Well, I have like a lot of scars and stuff.
That's
and
okay.
So I when I read yeah. that, I was just like, oh God, I love this.
Well, that's
so
what
much.
Makes us human, and that's the yeah. human experience. We share that.
Right? Yeah,
that sharing that. I said this earlier, but we love for people to come into the shop and bring something broken or something that, because there's always a story there, and we're storytellers, and we both have mm-hmm. I'm a psychologist. Nathan has this background as well. And so we just, that whole idea of engaging with people around their memory and why this is so important. And we treat those things very seriously. Like, we just really want to preserve that for people. We want to help restore it. We just recently did four panels mm-hmm. that came to us that were
They were taken out of a judicial building up in New Jersey.
Which was surprising. We thought they came out of a church because they were, the way they were designed, I mean, you just don't see a lot of stained glass in government buildings. But this woman, they had been in a barn, and she had paid like a few dollars a week when they had torn down this building. She had seen these put in this barn, and she paid a few dollars a week for like most of a year to buy these. And they're very wealthy people now. They live on Bald Head Island, and they wanted, they were building this house on Bald Head Island and wanted these pieces restored to their original beauty so that they could install them. So we got the great privilege of doing that. Nikki Hildebrand did most of the actual work, but I got to source the glass because it had, they had been repaired badly and pieces of them were the wrong kind of glass. It was not accurate for the period because these were built in the 1880s. And so we were able to find the original maker of the glass and both texture and color matching, and it was just a really neat process to bring them back to life and to their original beauty and iridescence. And then we cleaned them just so that they glowed, and now they're installed in this home in Bald Head. And it was just, it's a very satisfying medium, I think.
And, you know, I like the stories that come out of it, you know, hearing, you know, their story of how they acquired this piece and, you know, what they want to do with it. And, you know, I actually have talked with them several times after those pieces being installed, and we still have a great relationship. And now, you know, they've got some crystal glasses that are, they got chipped in a move, and they're bringing them back going, hey, do you have a lathe, can you do this, you know? And it's, you create lasting relationships.
You guys can fix crystal glasses?
Not chips.
Large cracks.
Okay. Yeah.
Unfortunately. I mean, we can, but it's not pretty. So, I mean, we can do it like you said, with we can use UV glue, but it's not a, you wouldn't probably want to drink out of them after that. If you want it at a special golf tournament and you wanted to, you know, put it back together, we can probably make that happen. Mm. But no, that's glass when it's, it's broken. When you repair it, you're always going to know. But like chips on the edge, we can put that on a diamond lathe and repolish that edge. Right. So, yeah, we can do some things like that. Take little chips out.
Can you take glass and just recycle it? Like just throw it in the
hellfire
and
throw it in the kiln?
You can throw it.
You
depends
can.
On the kind, yeah.
With glass, you know, you always have to ask yourself what's the coefficient of expansion, because if you have different types of glass, if they have a different coefficient of expansion, they will break during the cooling process. You can actually refire tempered glass depending upon exactly how it was tempered, but that's sort of a delicate process because if it blows up, it can ruin your kiln.
Oh, yeah. we're careful about that. Like, for instance, you can't use stained glass to do glass fusing, for instance. Those are different kinds of glass. So knowing having some basic understanding of that is what we are in charge of. And then people who come in and want to learn, they can learn in that category, like and learn in stained glass. And we've already provided, asked all those questions, and we know what to give them. And people who come in to do glass, you know, fusing and slumped glass, we know what kind of glass to give them. And so you don't have to have all that big, huge base of knowledge to be able to make something really beautiful in our studio.
Is there anything, you can see pictures on your website, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What is that? I have it, but just tell it to me anyway so I can write it down.
www.coastaldesignerglass.com.
Better is our Instagram and our Facebook page, but probably Instagram's the best. I'm constantly posting on Instagram. Whatever. You can see pictures, for instance, of the glass pieces that we did on Bald Head Island. Those are on there.
How do I find your Instagram account? I actually am not on Instagram, and I don't quite understand it yet. Okay. I'm trying to get there. I know it's so like. But
there's nothing wrong with that. I'm actually not great with Instagram.
How do I find you on Instagram?
We're Coastal Designer Glass on Instagram. Yeah. So if you have the app, you can just search Coastal Designer Glass.
Okay. We actually have the app for the station, but I haven't, I'm trying to understand Instagram.
If you're on your feed for the station, there's a search function. Mm-hmm. Just put in Coastal Designer Glass and we'll pop up.
Okay, cool.
And then you can look through our whole feed. You should be able to see our whole
Instagram
feed.
Is really just a photo journal of whatever you find interesting, whatever your story is.
Right.
And sometimes I put them, I'm C to V to run, And sometimes I put stuff on mine too.
Like see the letter C.
C. Yeah. C. Davita. Yeah. And then that's cute. The word run. I've always been a, till I had this last baby, a marathoner. So that was my, it's been my, my little handle for a long time, but slowly getting back to that. Have a baby after 40 and you just kind of go, your body goes, hang on. That was not fair. What was up? So recovering is a little tough, but yeah. So I usually try to only post Coastal Designer Glass on Coastal Designer Glass, but mm-hmm. I'm so proud of my husband and so much of the stuff that he does. Yeah. That I end up putting it.
Sure, both places. Yeah,
yeah, because he also does beautiful shower enclosures. I mean, like amazing, amazing work. And we just we do cabinet, especially specialty cabinet glass. Beautiful hand raked CD glass, and he does leading for cabinets. Cabinet
which
glass
has become harder to do.
Yeah,
there's one of the largest architectural art glass manufacturers went out of business 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of that in the last 10 years. Several large glass manufacturing companies have closed, so that's another reason why.
Why?
Well, the economic downturn. Second thing is. People aren't tanking over the family business. So these large companies, they were like, well, they couldn't get anybody to buy it. The demand wasn't very high for specialty glass. And the problem is now, like with Spectrum closing, which is what he's talking about, Spectrum Glass was one of the only providers of the kind of glass that they made. And some of that glass will be picked up by other providers, like Bullseye and
Ouroboros.
And maybe Wismac, but a lot of several of those patterns and the way that they made them, even though they're giving out their recipes, there's a lot of environmental things that affect how glass is produced, and some of that will just never be the same, and it will never be reproduced, and they're closed. So it's that glass, for instance, went up like yep. as soon as they announced they were closing, people showed up with trucks, yeah. And we're buying glass so fast out of their, they're in Portland or in Portland. Yeah. They're in Oregon somewhere. Washington State. And, they closed because the environmental, impact of some of what they were doing, they were going to have to retrofit to meet current EPA standards. They were gonna have to retrofit and spend so much money that to them, it wasn't, they were, you know, ready to kind of on the cusp of retirement anyway, and no one to take over the company. It just kind of didn't make sense.
Right.
So it's unfortunate, but that's kind of happening. The industry has had some of these things happen. So I guess we as artisans and providers of glass really think, wow, we really need to promote this. We really need for people to go, oh, wow, glass is really a great option for this or that. Like we can make glass countertops and they're amazing. You don't have to go get granite if you wanted a second countertop, like bar top, and you could still see through it. And we can slump it into a beautiful texture and put fizzy bubbles in it if you want. And we can backlight it and do all kinds of amazing stuff. But most people just don't even think of glass as an option for that when it's a really great option. It cleans really easily. You don't have to seal it like you do granite. I mean, there's all kinds of great reasons why you might want a glass countertop. We just did a beautiful backsplash.
You know, we can back paint glass to any Sherwin-Williams color that you want, and that color is sealed. It doesn't change, and you don't have grout lines.
So we can put one sheet, long sheet of glass, back painted whatever color you want it, and it's cleanable with a glass cleaner, and you never have to seal the grout, and you never, when your spaghetti flies up on it, you don't have to take a toothbrush.
Right. I bet it's like so easy to clean. I mean, just in terms of like.
It has a clean look too. Yeah, it's very. Right. But it doesn't have
it
to
be. It
has
like a glassy look. I
it
mean,
does,
it's
glassy.
Like classy, glassy.
But also sometimes you get like you have a beautiful pattern, for instance, of marble or granite. And you really want the focus to be the granite. And then you end up with like this other pattern of tile. That takes away, or you know, they coordinate, but I just find that sometimes very too much jumbly. And so, if it's just you can get a piece of glass back painted the same color as your walls, or a neutral, and guess what shows up? Not that backsplash. Your wall, you know, you're still very protected. Your walls are protected. You have a nice, clean, sanitary surface behind your granite or your marble, but the star remains the marble or that beautiful piece of granite that you picked mm-hmm. out. And I think that's really appealing to a designer and to a lot of homeowners for that reason.
Yeah.
So it's been fun to do that. But we just did a beautiful vanity top that was an inch thick of glass, and then we backlit it with an LED strip, and so it's called a C-Fizz is the texture, so it's kind of a bumpy texture underneath with bubbles all throughout the glass, and we backlit it, and it's something called Starfire glass, which is a low iron glass. It's not green, and when we backlit it, it turned aqua blue, just like the ocean, and it looks like a piece of the ocean on top of this beautiful vanity. So that's the kind of thing you get to do with glass that just, there's not another medium for that. It's really, really beautiful.
Cool.
We could talk about it for a long time.
I'm sure you could. Is there anything else? I'm going to have to make a second. This is so much longer than with the time. So it's like so ridiculously
talky,
much longer.
Talky.
But did you want to add anything else? No. Did we skip anything that's important?
I don't think so.
No. Well, yes, actually.
We'll get on the mic.
Okay. One of the things that I love.
Say it. Start again.
One of the things that I love about Coastal Designer Glass is that we employ a lot of artisans, and so Cynthia and I do a lot of work ourselves, but we also get to employ Nikki and Carol and others who have a great wealth of knowledge, and it's fun to be in community with other artists who understand this medium and who also explore outside of this medium. So we're always looking for other artists to work with in wood and different mediums so that we can share and collaborate. And that's really important to us, is, you know, sharing and collaborating. It's any way that we can sort of elevate ideas and concepts and art, we love to.
Yeah, we actually do have a wood shop as well, outside the city limits, and both my father and my uncle, my dad Pete DeVita and my uncle Chip DeVita, are woodworkers. So what's neat about that is that we can do wood and glass together. We can put those two pieces, you know, those two mediums together, so that, like, for instance, we've created beautiful wood bases for glass, and we've created frames, and we've created inlaid tables. We have, my dad used to own Cape Fear Riverwood, which was, I don't know if you are familiar with it, but that was the company that, and they're still in town, that hauls ancient logs off the bottom of the Cape Fear River. And we have made, and we still have a lot of that wood in storage from having, you know, owned those companies, that and Anchor Hardwoods. And that wood that we have collected over time is, we like specimens of wood. So we have some gorgeous live edge walnut pieces that are huge. And we've done mantel pieces for people out of that live edge. We've done tables. And we can do both wood and glass that for those kinds of applications, which makes it neat. You don't have to go to another place if you, for instance, wanted you know, a really interesting cast piece of glass, and then you wanted a framework built for that piece. We can do both of those things. So that does kind of add to our ability to meet a client's need. But even if we couldn't do it in-house, we are constantly looking to form, like Nathan said, relationships. We have relationships, good relationships, with other glass artisans in town. We have relationships with woodworkers. We have relationships with metal workers and fabricators. We recently did sandblasted and hand-painted sign for a local company, and had to source, fabricate metal pieces to set that glass into. And so, you know, we worked with local people to work towards that. And that kind of thing, just collaborating, if we can't find it, if we don't have it, we love being able to find it. And that's part of the fun for us, is getting to source those sorts of things for clients. Is that it for you? Okay.
All right.
He's sufficiently...